You're listening to Fox Sports Radio. Radio.
We start in college football, where the Heisman Trophy will be awarded this Saturday night. The three finalists are Kyler Murray of Oklahoma, Tua Tagovailoa of Alabama, and Dwayne Haskins from Ohio State. But RJ, some early indicators may have already tipped us off as to who will win.
Yeah, this to me is one of the more shocking things I've seen when it comes to a big betting market. And Brad, the Heisman betting, just compared to even 5 years ago, way, way up.
Yeah, no question about it. I mean, it starts in the summer as far as the odds being released. A lot of guys available to choose from. The pool list to bet on is big. And plus, I would say the week in and week out updates on the Heisman's what I've really seen change in the last couple of years. Constant fluctuation from week to week. I mean, you got Kenny Hill from Texas A&M that's the Heisman favorite after week three. That's something you never saw 10, 15 years ago.
Yeah, and it is different because back in the day, it was a multiple year award that you had to play really well 1 year to get on the magazine cover the next. And if you weren't on the magazine cover, you probably weren't going to get enough attention. Today, you can become famous, good or bad, sports or other things, very, very quickly. This year, though, more than any other, was a one-person race for a long, long time. And it was almost like everyone shrugging, saying, oh, yeah, this other guy's pretty good, but Tua's got it locked up. So as recently as 3 weeks ago, if I wanted to say Tua Heisman, how much did I have to bet to win $100?
You had to bet 1,000, RJ.
1,000 to win 100.
Yes.
All right. So I like to think about it Subway sandwiches. So let me think about this now. $50 would have got me a foot long.
Yep.
That did not seem like a good deal.
No.
Now, just a couple of days ago, there was a big, big change.
Yeah, and Kyler Murray, not Tua Tagovailoa, was actually the favorite. Kyler Murray, quarterback Oklahoma, -160. Had to bet $160 to win 100.
So I would, with Tua, I could have got like, you know, +130, +1. So think about that. 3 weeks ago, $10 wins you $1. And then a couple weeks later, $10 wins you like 14.
Mm-hmm.
So you were getting paid 14 times as much on your Tua bet. And right here on Straight Out of Vegas, we were kind of like befuddled because what had happened in the last few weeks? Hey, Murray kept playing well, and Tua played a little bit below, but not much more than a little, his season-long standard. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, for the most part, other than the SEC championship game was his worst game, but still, Tua played well in those other games.
Yeah, I mean, no doubt. And again, his worst, how bad was he?
It was pretty bad, RJ.
Compared to what?
Compared to historically great.
Yeah, so, okay, fair enough. Now, today, big news that speaks to, it's kind of a leading indicator with the Heisman.
So, the Associated Press, we love the Associated Press, pregame.com, the official odds provider of the AP, came out with their college football player of the year today. Kyler Murray got a significant number of first place votes. Incredible. Three times as many as Tua. No player ever, RJ, has ever had this many first place votes and not won the Heisman Trophy.
So Murray has how many first place votes?
39.
And no one that's ever had that many didn't win the Heisman.
Nope.
So Jonas, you were like, wait a minute. This line move doesn't make any sense. Maybe somebody knows something.
Yeah, it just seemed odd that the odds would jump that much when we've talked about it all year based on just that one game. And then you find out, well, 10% of the Heisman votes were already put in before this past weekend's games. So if 10% were already put in and Tua Tagovailoa had his worst game of his season, how would the odds change that much unless somebody got a peek at what was in the votes that were already cast early.
In the 10%.
Yeah.
And it, that made sense at the time. I'm thinking now that it was understanding this AP College Player of the Year was a leading indicator that those votes got out. And it was like, whoa, look at that number of first place votes for Murray. They tell a buddy. Buddy has a friend. It's a pro batter. You know how it happens. Telephone style. And you know what reinforces to me that it was the AP that got out? And again, we don't know, right? We're saying allegedly, maybe, is the idea that since the AP vote, the odds haven't changed all that much. It was minus 160, as we said, for Murray. Got up to minus 200. You would think that AP would be like, wow, wow. No, it was like almost like the people who bet the big money already knew about the AP vote. Otherwise, why wouldn't this have gone up more, Fez?
Yeah, because this news should have been like a 300-cent move. It's so significant that Murray, not just that he won, but he won by such margin.
So you're saying minus 160 should have became almost minus 500.
Yes.
I agree. I think the mistake, let's assume there's inside info out there that was out there. I think those not involved, because if you're involved, you got your money down already. You got your bets down. It's everyone else. And I think here's what they're thinking that's not letting it run up more is, boy, Tua, I could have, so Murray was not in the preseason or whatever, but let's say week five, what was Murray? He was probably in the 4-1 range.
Yeah, 4-1.
Okay. You're thinking, boy, I could have got Murray at 4-1. Now I've got to lay 160, now minus 200. You're thinking, oh, the value's gone. I don't think it's about what it was, the odds on Murray. I think it's about considering the givens, specifically this AP vote. What are the true odds today that Murray wins? And it feels like it's much more than minus 200, which presupposes about a 66% chance of winning. One last thing, though, and this is one of those you can take it with you in the future. Whenever there's the potential for inside info, and I'm not talking about any games. In general, games are on the up and up. There might be injury information that's inside, but for the most part, games are up and up. But things like who's going to win Survivor, who's going to win this voting. That's why Nevada with votes typically haven't allowed voting betting, because there is the potential. Someone has to count those votes, right, before it's announced. If there's the potential, condition one of inside info, and condition two, the odds seem strange. Like, wow, it seems like both these two should be even, but one's minus 600 and one's plus 500. If you have the potential of inside info and a line that doesn't make sense, odds are the line that doesn't make sense is actually right, because it's a sign somebody knows something you don't. And when Kyler Murray went to minus 160, it didn't make sense. And there is the potential of inside info with voting. And thus, the fact it looks like with this AP award that it's Murray's to lose doesn't surprise me.
Straight out of Vegas!
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Out of Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
RJ, we're going to peel back the curtain. We're going to go behind the scenes here a little bit, because in our pre-show meeting, you were very heated over something Colin Cowherd had to say about LeBron James. This was earlier today right here on Fox Sports Radio.
When I hear about the Lakers developing talent, let's develop talent. Really? Did you watch that game last night? LeBron said in the fourth quarter, all right, guys, give me the ball. Scored 14 straight points, and an 8-point deficit in the fourth, when LeBron was being patient, became a Laker win by 8. What am I waiting to develop? You know what the Lakers roster is? It's LeBron and 12 pending transactions.
Yeah, so I so disagree with that. I would say adamant, not heated. A lot of love with Colin and me. A lot of love. But adamant. No sacred cows on Straight Out of Vegas. Why? Because it costs us money if we make a mistake. Here's my thinking. I think that Magic and LeBron are playing this perfectly. And here's what I mean. What is the trade-off to wait? What is the trade-off for LeBron not to put the team on his back every chance he's got? You find out what you got with these young players. And the idea that we know for sure that Ingram is nothing. We know for sure that Ball is nothing. I mean, go up and down the list, Vez. I think there's even a couple more you could say potentially are something. Now, I mean, would it seem crazy that Ingram's the third best player in, let's say, 2 years on a championship team?
Not at all.
Okay. But what we know is playing with LeBron is different than any other way to play in the NBA because he's a one-of-a-kind player. So, yeah, you had some years with Ingram, 1 year with Lonzo, but you didn't know how they were going to play with LeBron. So, to me, to wait now, not make any major trades, or not to have LeBron play Superman every chance that he gets, what's the trade-off? The trade-off is probably, almost certainly, less wins in the regular season. Agreed. But you're finding out what you got. And I don't think the Lakers even now know what they've got. I think they know better than they did to start the season. But how do these players play with LeBron? How do they mature under LeBron's mentoring? And in a few months, trading deadline's there. Now, all of a sudden, what have you gained? You know what you got, which means if you're the Lakers, you know what you got to get by either trade at the trade deadline or next summer. And you have LeBron more rested. We know LeBron doesn't fixate on third seed, fourth seed, second seed. Yeah, he'd rather be the first seed. But if the trade-off, if the only, we know the Lakers are making the playoffs pretty much. So if the only question is home field or home court in a given game, in a seven-game series, one extra game, versus really knowing how good Ingram is, how good Lonzo is, boy, that seems like a trade that I'd much rather have that information and arrested LeBron than another five wins, don't know what you really got. I mean, Fez, thoughts?
Yeah, I agree. And these kids with Kuzma and everybody else, they won 35 games last year. They're not complete bottom of the barrel. I mean, this was a Laker team that even without LeBron could easily have won 38 or 39 games this year.
Which makes the win total with LeBron entering the year
48.
Yeah, I mean, it was the idea LeBron was, and they're on pace for over 50 now.
Yeah, but the West is so loaded right now. It's still going to be
difficult. But it wasn't loaded the whole year?
The bottom tier team.
I'm so sick of the West. I mean, it's like this pace they've created was playing in the West, right? They weren't in the East and somehow went to the West.
But Sacramento and Dallas, these teams we thought were going to be bad are actually decent.
And that's been the case the whole year, right?
Yeah.
So, and they're on pace for what?
Lakers over 48. Over 48, yeah.
Okay. My point exactly.
Right out of Vegas!
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
Guys, it is time for our Thursday tradition here on Straight Outta Vegas, and it's called this.
Now, Trends of the Week on Straight Outta Vegas.
All right, Fez, you got a good one. Trends aren't your forte, but you got an NFL one I think the nation needs to hear.
Yes, the Buffalo Bills underperform the week after they play the Miami Dolphins. They are 8-34, Buffalo is, against the spread the week after they play Miami.
All right, so the Bills play the Dolphins. Interdivision, it's a rivalry that a lot of people don't realize how strong it is, and then there's a letdown. And the numbers again?
8 wins for the Bills against the spread, 34 losses.
Wowza, wowza. Now, this week, does that make, obviously it pushes you in a certain direction. What is it? Does it make you want to bet that Bills game?
Well, I was going to look to bet on the Bills. Now that I see this trend, I want no part of the Bills against the Jets.
And the Bills, for the first time this season, are favored in a game, RJ, against the Jets. I don't want any part of the Bills.
Oh, that's interesting. Brad Powers, I'm RJ Bell, straight out of Vegas. A second NFL one, and this one I've never heard anywhere else. And I love it. It's back in the Saints. Saints are favored by 8 against Tampa Bay. Well, I feel good. Brad and Fez picked up their pens. Now, that's a sign. I like it. A little respect there. If you have a team that's won 6 or more games followed by a loss, so 6 or more games in a row followed by a loss, the next game, they're 55% against the spread. Wait a minute, that's nothing big, RJ. Yeah, exactly. But then I thought about it, and I remember that when teams are undefeated and they lose that first game, they tend to be flat the next game because they put so much energy into this goal. And, you know, 8-0, 9-0, you lose, and it's like, and then they're flat the next game. So I said, let's take out if you're undefeated with that first loss. So you've lost a game, you win six or more, and then you lose another game. Exactly what the Saints have done. In that spot, here's the ATS. 41 winners, 26 losers. 41 and 26, very strong with a team that didn't lose their undefeated season, that's been really hot, loses a game. They want redemption. They want to get back on that winning ways. I don't love the Saints here, but it makes me not want to bet Tampa. And I was kind of leaning that way. Fez, do you like the logic of the trend?
I do, and I also like the fact that that loss makes the Saints a whole lot less expensive. The look-ahead line in this game was Saints minus 11. Now we only have to lay minus 8.
So the look-ahead line is if you had bet this game a week ago before the Saints lost to the Cowboys, you would have had to lay 11 against the Bucs. Now they lose, they get less expensive, and the irony is they get more motivated. That's all advantage Saints. But I think Tampa's got some advantages, so I'm passing the game.
Guys, we have a college football matchup this Saturday between Army and Navy. Army, a 7-point favorite right now on pregame.com.
Yeah, and the first trend is specific to the total. The last 12 meetings between Army and Navy, the under is a perfect 12-0. Even more impressive than 12-0 to me is the fact that the under is cashed by an average of 15 points per game.
And when it comes to the side?
The side, Navy right now, a 7-point underdog in this one. If you'd played on Navy in the last 16 meetings plus 7 against Army, you'd be 16-0.
So what you're saying is for them to lose against the spread, they have to lose in a historical way in this matchup.
Yeah, Navy has not lost by more than 7 to Army in the last 16 years.
Obviously, the reason the line's there is a better Army team. But still, your basic premise, Brad, and I agree with you, people tend to overreact to what they see. And when you get a line that's historic, there's probably a reason it's in that direction, but they tend to go too far in that direction.
Yeah, and keep in mind, a game of the year line, something you could bet in the summer, had Navy the 7-point favorite here. A 14-point swing between these two teams this year, I don't buy it. That's why I lean with Navy.
Just a lean, though.
Just a lean.
Not betting it.
Not betting it, no.
Straight out of Vegas!
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.